Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful to be here tonight. So glad for this opportunity. It's such a blessing to know that we can fellowship here together. And, you know, not just who's here in this place, but as we are spread abroad, all connected by the Spirit of the living God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer as we begin here tonight. Let's all pray. Let's all talk to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for such an opportunity, Lord. We thank you that we know that where two or three are gathered together in thy name, that there you are in our midst. And oh Lord, we just thank you that, oh yes, as we gather here tonight, that we know that you are here, Lord. Oh God, that oh Lord, you are here among us. No, Lord, we love you, Lord. We just thank you for your wonderful word. We thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you for the wonderful plan of salvation. We thank you for saving our souls, Lord. And oh God, I pray that you would minister to us tonight. Oh God, you know every detail, you know every need, oh Lord. Oh God, you know every bondage and everything that, oh Lord, needs deliverance and needs a touch from you, Lord. And I pray, oh Lord, that you'd work. Pray that, oh Lord, you'd set your people free. I pray that you'd deliver them, Lord. I pray that you bring salvation to those that have not yet known thee, oh Lord, in that reality of new life in thee, Lord Jesus. I pray that you send forth the Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, that the winds would blow again, Lord. That you bring forth your Spirit. And, oh, God, that you'd move in us and help us, Lord. Free us, Lord Jesus. Talk to our hearts, Lord. I pray that you'd use this word here tonight. Oh, God, let it minister to every heart. Oh, God, I ask for thy help, thy words. Oh, God, thy Spirit. Oh, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you're with us. Thank you for sending back the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord, thank you for your special, wonderful, wonderful promises, Lord. And we pray that, oh, Lord, you administer to our hearts tonight. Thank you, Lord, that thy will be done in the name of Jesus, that the adversary have no place, let him be bound and cast out. Oh, Lord Jesus, and oh, God, give your Spirit freedom, Lord, to move in our hearts. Oh, God, to change the things that need to be changed, to give us strength and energy, vigor, Lord, overcoming power with thee, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, the right attitude, the right spirit, Lord. Oh, God, all the things that we have need of, Lord. Faith, oh, Lord, to believe thee. Faith to be healed. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise thy holy name. Have your way, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We're so privileged to know the Lord here tonight. Oh, my. You know, it may be chaotic out there. All kinds of things going on, but the Lord is with his people. And he's not going to withdraw his Spirit. No. Oh, we need him more than ever. And praise the Lord, we know that Jesus declared, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to go into the Word of God here tonight. I'm going to call this message, "If Any Man Thirst." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We know that God has put a special place within our being for the living God. People try to satisfy that little spot with all kinds of things of this world. Even sometimes good deeds and, you know, what they can try to do and to fill that void. But truly nothing can satisfy it until the living God has that place that he has reserved for himself, that place within our beings. Praise the Lord. And yes, because he made us that way, there is a longing deep within our spirit for the living God. Oh yes, for the living waters Oh, yes, that he has promised to pour out upon his people. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Psalm 63 here tonight to begin here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Psalm chapter 63, a Psalm of David. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. It reads, praise God, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. We see that, oh, yes, as David was uttering these words, you know, it is said that he wrote this when he was in the wilderness of Judah. But, oh, my, it tells of that emptiness down inside that can only be filled by the living God, that longing deep inside. Oh, yes, there is that thirsting deep within for the living water. And praise the Lord. Lord willing, we will be talking about the living water tonight. But oh, I'm so thankful we can draw from a well that never will run dry. There's always more. Because, you know, it just seems that as we walk this earth, that we always need more. We always need more of God. We always need more of the living water. And oh, we see as David was uttering these words that, you know, that longing for God within and that thirsting within that he was talking about. Oh, yes, he was in a dry, in a thirsty land, as he described it here, where no water is. I believe he was talking about his soul needing a new touch from the Lord. And, oh, yes, that longing, oh, yes, to feel God. Oh, to know those reassurances that God is with us. God is real. Oh, yes, the wonderful touch that God gives His people. Praise the Lord. So, yes, he is yearning to see God's power and God's glory. And it seems that, yes, he was probably on the run as he was writing this psalm. And you know, I'm sure there was a longing to be in the sanctuary, in the tabernacle, the place where the ark was that represented the presence of the Lord. And oh, yes, there he was. He was out there in the wilderness, and he seemed far away from that spot where his heart was. But oh, my, yes, he's uttering, oh, yes, the great desire to see the power of God. Oh, yes, to note the glory of God as God would come down and touch his people. Oh, such a wonderful day when that would happen. Praise the Lord. As he had seen it happen in the sanctuary, that place that was known as the dwelling place of God. I think, you know, we just had a little slight taste, perhaps, I think, with this banning thing that we just went through here. I know in Wisconsin, this shelter-in-place thing that we had. And you know, it wasn't that we didn't have church, because, yes, there were very few of us here that would meet to record the service. But so many people weren't able to come, and it was restricted. There was this ban and all of that. But how good it felt when that ban was lifted and we knew that we could take the sign off the front door and, you know, whosoever would like to come in was welcomed. Praise the Lord. No, it's a wonderful thing to be able to gather together with the people of God. Praise the Lord. I know Ephesians described, oh yes, those times of gathering when we're in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord when the presence of the Lord comes down. And oh yes, there's no doubt. Oh, we know that He inhabits the praises of His people. And how glorious it is when we can feel those touches from above. Oh, praise the Lord. And there's something about it. Although He's with us in our own little sanctuary at home, in our own little bedroom, bed, or whatever that place is at home, still, it is so special to gather together as the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. It just seems like, especially, oh yes, when those praises go up to God, how the touch of the Lord comes down. Oh yes, the glory of the Lord comes down to touch us afresh. And we have a glimpse of the wonderful ability of God to sustain us and to touch us, to renew that which is within. Oh, praise the Lord. We know that Jesus said in Matthew, the 18th chapter, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst thereof. Praise the Lord. And how beautiful again that is. Oh yes, that we could gather. And even tonight, over the airwaves, so to speak, here online. But praise the Lord, we know that God is with His people. And He comes to touch us, to renew us, to strengthen us. Oh yes, as we turn to His Word. And oh, as we worship Him in spirit and in truth. Oh, praise the Lord. I know David wrote, or at least the Psalm 122. I'm not positive that it's the Psalm of David, but you know, it's recorded as saying, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord, yes, and I'm just checking it. It is a song of David. Praise the Lord, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord for such wonderful opportunities. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He tells us in verse 3 here in Psalms 63, because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. And oh, praise the Lord. God gives us something deeper and better than life. Praise the Lord. Something beyond this life to hope and to trust in. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, the loving kindness of the Lord. You know, He touches us here. All are pilgrims and strangers on this earth. But oh, praise the Lord, we know that that loving kindness that He has bestowed upon us is for all eternity. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, that loving kindness touches us. Oh yes, even while we're yet in our sins, so that we can turn to the living God. But praise the Lord, it goes beyond that. Oh yes, throughout all eternity. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's beyond this life. And what a reason to praise the Lord. Oh yes, He wrote here, my lips shall praise Thee. Oh, it's such an opportunity to praise the Lord. We know, we quoted again and again there from Psalms 22, that God inhabits the praises of His people. He lives in the praises of His people. Oh yes, we know that when He made that triumphant entry into Jerusalem before the crucifixion, oh yes, and the people were waving the branches and saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is He that cometh in the name of the Lord, as they were uttering it, and oh yes, crying out with all their strength. Well, we know that there were some that tried to quiet them. Oh, you're too loud. Oh, this is crazy. Oh, I don't like this noise. But oh my, Jesus said if these should hold their peace. Even the very rocks would cry out. Oh my, how we need to praise the Lord. Oh, He is that Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. And He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be exalted. And oh, what a privilege it is to praise the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. I love how Jeremiah wrote in the book of Lamentation, the third chapter. Oh, indeed, it was a very, very difficult time. Oh, yes, he was seeing that which he had prophesied of coming to pass, Jerusalem being taken over. Oh, yes, the people being carried off, and oh, all the horrendous things that followed. But yet, in this third chapter of Lamentation, he writes in verse 40, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord." Verse 41, "Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens." Oh, praise the Lord. "We have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned. Thou hast covered with anger and persecuted us. Thou hast slain. Thou hast not pitied. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud that our prayers should not pass through. Thou hast made us as an offscouring and refuse in the midst of the people." Oh, and on it goes. Oh, a very hard, terrible time. Oh, yes, a time of travail. Oh, yes, something that no one would ever want to see. But oh, in the midst of that, let us lift up our hearts with our hands unto God in the heavens. Oh, there's something about it. Oh, yes, we lift up our hands. And Paul wrote, oh, yes, in 1 Timothy, that need to lift up holy hands without wrath, without doubting. Oh, there's something about it when we lift up our hands unto Almighty God. Oh, yes, the presence of the Lord, that touch from the Lord. It's like we're given our whole heart to the living God. Oh, yes. Something happens. Oh, yes. Like it seems like it represents that surrender unto God. Yes, and yes. Jeremiah, oh, expressed, oh, yes, that, oh, yes, is the lifting of the heart with the hands. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And yes, it tells us in verse 4 here in Psalm 63, "Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name." And oh yes, as we just said, this is how we can bless the Lord. By lifting up our hands. We can bless the Lord by lifting up our hands. Praise the Lord. Oh, how the presence of the Lord comes down. Oh yes, we are praising Him, exalting Him, worshiping Him with all our hearts. Praise the wonderful name of the Lord. And Psalm 63 goes on to say, verse 5, "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, David lived in that time before, oh yes, our Lord would come to this earth as the Christ, as the Messiah, as the promised one. But oh yes, they of old lived in that promise, knowing that that time would come when Jesus would come to this world. Oh, they didn't know when this all would be fulfilled, but they looked forward to that wonderful, glorious moment. And praise the Lord. Oh, yes. He knew that, oh, yes, there was going to be that fulfillment. "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness." Oh, that means with health. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Oh, yes, that expectation. Oh, the fulfillment of the promises of God. Those promises that are yea and amen. Praise the Lord. So, yes, oh, our mouth. Oh, can, oh, yes, open. Oh, to praise the Lord with joyful lips. He talks about, oh, yes, those moments. Oh, when he was perhaps alone, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Oh, yes, those quiet times. Oh, yes, when he was reflecting upon Almighty God. Oh, yes, and the wonderful goodness of the Lord. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Oh, praise the Lord. The wonderful promises of God. And I know David knew what it was like to receive that help from the Lord. Oh, yes, he got into those conflicts so many times. Oh, he was hard-pressed so many times. Things went awry so many times. He was pursued so many times. And I know that he knew what it was like to receive that help from Almighty God. Oh, yes, he knew what it was like to lift up his eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help, knowing that my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Praise the Lord. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Oh, yes, as it tells us in Psalms 121. Oh, it's so beautiful. It goes on to say in Psalms 121, verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Verse 7, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so glad that the promises of God are not just for a moment. They're not just for a little time. You know, they're not just effective for one moment and then off the next. But oh, yes, his promises are forevermore. Praise the Lord. And we can stand upon those promises and know that they will not be diminished. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the Lord knows how to preserve our soul. Oh, yes. Oh, praise the Lord. And that is so precious to know. Amen. Back here in Psalm 63. Verse 8 tells us, my soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Oh, God's power and strength. Oh, yes, he could say, I know from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. It's God that holds us up. It's God who gives us strength. Oh, my, it's God who keeps us. Praise the Lord. And therefore, oh yes, we can say, my soul followeth hard after thee. Oh yes, we need the Lord. Oh, we have none other to help. We must have God, amen. Oh, praise the Lord. He knows how to help us through every conflict, every battle, every need, every circumstance. There is nothing too hard for our God. Praise the Lord. He knows how to preserve us. He knows how to keep us. He knows how to save us. And praise the Lord, he knows how to heal us. Praise our wonderful God. Thank you, Jesus. And then, oh yes, in verse 9, he says, but those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. Oh, it's not going to be a good end for those that fear not the Lord. Oh, those that have the wrong motives and, oh, nasty hearts. Oh, that are the enemies of God's people. It's not going to be a good outcome for them by any means. Oh, yes, he's declaring here that they shall go down into the lower parts of the earth. Oh, yes, consumed by the wrath of the Lord. Oh, no good place to be in. We don't ever want to be in that place. But he ends the psalm by saying in verse 11, but the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Praise the Lord. But you see, oh yes, David realized that tremendous need to seek the Lord. Oh, he said, early will I seek thee. I believe we need to seek the Lord right away in the morning. Oh, yes, and all during the day. Oh, yes, his thoughts should be a part of our thoughts. Praise the Lord. Oh, and that longing, that thirsting, that desiring for him. Oh, yes, we don't ever want that to diminish. Oh, yes, because surely he has put it within each and every one of us, that need for the living God. Oh, yes. That need for those waters, those living waters that the Lord provides for his people. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's turn to John, the 4th chapter here tonight. Praise our God. John chapter 4. Such an interesting chapter. Let's begin by looking at verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And that fourth verse tells us, and he must needs go through Samaria. And interestingly expressed here, you know, there was a reason. You know, and typically they would avoid Samaria. The Jews would avoid it. They would go around it rather than go through Samaria. They hated the Samaritans. Pretty much all of them. And so, you know, they didn't want to get near. But Jesus had a different mindset. And oh, he had a very definite reason to go through Samaria. Praise the Lord. He must needs go through Samaria. And verse 5 tells us, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. He goes on to explain, it was kind of a famous spot, you could say, it's because, as verse 6 says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. So, okay, obviously they had traveled, and now it was about noontime, the 6th hour. And obviously, you know, they probably started very early on this journey, I'm going to guess. Got to the place where this landmark was, Jacob's Well. And it tells us Jesus being weary, you know, he had flushed. This is the human side of Jesus. And so here he is at this landmark, as we said, and he's weary with his journey, so he sat thus on the well. And it was about the 6th hour. So while he's there, and you know, Jesus, oh boy, he always knew. You know, there was always more to it than we would have ever guessed. On the surface, anyway. But as he sat there on the well, tells us in verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. And of course, you know, this is not a usual procedure by any means. You know, obviously it was time for their noon meal, and you know, the disciples had gone into the city to find some food. And here, in the meantime, comes this woman. And, you know, Jesus actually startles her by asking the Samaritan woman to give me to drink. He's asking her for some water. Verse 9 tells us, "Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Again, you know, she was very surprised, startled by this asking here for some water. And, you know, yeah, like I said, typically, you know, the Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. And here he is. Besides that, she's a woman. And, you know, she's a Samaritan woman. And, you know, I don't get it, so to think here. But it goes on. Jesus answered and said unto her, verse 10, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Now, wow, this is a woman's wonderment, I'm sure, is just growing. You know, now he's talking about something else, the gift of God. If you just knew what God has to offer, if you just knew the gift of God and who it is that's speaking to you, you would have asked me, give me to drink. Oh, instead, you know, you would have asked me to give me living water, paraphrasing here what the woman, oh yes, would have asked indeed if she would have realized who this was and what he was offering. So it goes on, verse 11. "The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" You know, wasn't real clear. He's talking about drawing water, you know, but he has nothing to draw it with. And yes, indeed, this well, Jacob's well, was very deep. You just, you know, you had to have some kind of tool to get that water from. And oh my, so she's very curious as this story continues. And, you know, even asking, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Well, Jesus answers. Verse 13, "Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Oh, this is sounding amazing as Jesus begins to offer something, oh, so beyond anything that she had ever known. A water that she could drink of which she would never thirst again. And it would be as a well of water springing up within into everlasting life. Oh, this woman, and there's more to her than you would think. She says in verse 15, "The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Okay, so she's expressing her desire. Now, Jesus is going to test her a little bit here. Verse 16, "Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly." And again, oh my, here, you know, he knows even her life. And you know, this is really, oh, beyond what she could ever imagine. But, you know, something's stirring within her. "The woman saith unto him," verse 19, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, and when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Oh my, what a marvel this is, you know. Oh yes, it had seemed, you know, to the Jews, if you were going to worship God, you had to go to Jerusalem to do it. But Jesus is foretelling of a time that he said was coming, and actually now is, as he was uttering it, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. And you know, it wasn't going to be a must to go to Jerusalem to worship, or if you were a Samaritan, to worship in that mountain. That would be an issue at all with what was happening. Oh yes, with what the Lord Jesus was bringing forth. Oh yes, that hour that was coming at that point, and actually now was at that point, that the true worshipers would worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Oh, praise the Lord. It wouldn't matter where you were. You wouldn't have to be a precise, particular place. But praise the Lord, the important issue would be that you worship in spirit and in truth. Praise the Lord, an amazing combination. Praise the Lord, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Oh, wouldn't you know it, that is what God is looking for. He's looking for a people, oh yes, that I don't worship him after tradition. Oh, after a certain religion. No, but instead, seek out the way that God would have them to worship. Oh yes, seek to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And Jesus went on to say in verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh, praise the Lord. If you're not worshiping God in spirit and in truth, then you might as well be still. It's not going to avail. It's not going to make a difference. God is a spirit. And as Jesus walked this earth, the omnipresent spirit of the living God was everywhere. Oh yes, it was in Jesus Christ. In fact, the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in Jesus Christ. But you know, at the same time, God is not restricted. God is everywhere. God beholds all things. Oh my, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. Praise the Lord. And he's a spirit. That means there's no restriction. There's no bounds. You know, and you know, it's so neat to note that, you know, as Jesus clarified in Luke, the 24th chapter, and I'm just going to turn here briefly. Here it was after the resurrection, and the disciples had been gathered together, and it tells us here in Luke, the 24th chapter, looking at verse 36, as they were breaking bread and talking about the things that had happened, it says in verse 36, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. See, he's differentiating here between a spirit and flesh. And, you know, yes, even though he had that glorified body, he could appear, and you know, very suddenly in the midst of them. And at first they supposed they were seeing a spirit, but he's clarifying it. You know, no, he was in flesh and blood, and he told them to behold his hands and his feet. And oh, you see for yourselves. Handle me, touch me, in other words. And see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And it tells us in verse 40, and when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Oh, yes, and then he went on to ask them. Verse 41, and while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. Oh, praise the Lord. And there he was also fulfilling scripture where he had declared that he would not eat with them again until all had been fulfilled as far as the death, burial, and resurrection was concerned. Praise the Lord. But oh my, and he's also showing them that he is in the body, that he is in flesh, and that he is not a spirit, demonstrating it and making it clear for his disciples. Praise the Lord. But back here in John chapter 4, Jesus has declared, oh, so startling to this Samaritan woman, yes, at that hour cometh when the Samaritans would neither worship in their mountain that they had reserved for worship, nor yet at Jerusalem. But that hour cometh, and Jesus said, now is in verse 23, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh my. Well, this message was getting through to this woman. Look how she responds in verse 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. See, in spite of misknowledge to some extent, she still had enough knowledge to know that one day the Christ was coming into the world. The Messiah was going to come forth. And yeah, even being a Samaritan, she still had this expectance and this knowledge. And verse 26 is so amazing, because although she was a Samaritan woman and salvation was of the Jews, Jesus is going to reveal himself unto this Samaritan woman. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is so amazing. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? And I'll tell you what, they wondered. This was so rare. This was so strange. This was not expected. And this woman, too, look what she does. Verse 28 tells us, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Oh my, and she's going to gather a crowd. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Verse 31 says, in the meanwhile his disciples prayed unto him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore, said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? I mean, they don't know what's going on. This is all so strange. Here they went into the city to get food, and now they brought it back. And, you know, Jesus is talking about meat that he had to eat that they didn't know of. But he goes on to explain, verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Oh, praise the Lord. All these spiritual gems here, all the harvest that the Lord Jesus is talking about, the things that we do for the sake of the kingdom of Christ. Oh, yes, and the great need. I know Jesus requested that we pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into the harvest. Oh, yes, he saw how they were. Oh, yes, they were white already to be harvested. There was already a need, and he told them, oh, yes. Oh, there's a reaping that's going to come forth. Those that engage in the harvest, oh yes. Those that look after the spiritual realm, and oh yes, do things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Oh yes, work for the sake of the kingdom of God. Oh yes, testifying, and oh yes, bringing forth the glorious gospel. Oh yes, both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And oh yes, he's talking about wages that would be received. Oh yes, eternal wages, gathering fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And here it is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testifieth, He told me all that ever I did. And yes, oh yes, well, I think we need to just pause here between verse 38 and 39. But, you know, he's explaining, yes, to his disciples, which were sent out into the harvest to do the work that he had required them to do, that, yes, he sent them to, you know, go forth in areas that already had been labored. The prophets had gone before them, and they had labored, they had prepared the ground. And oh yes, there was so much that had already been laid out before their event, before their coming. Oh yes. But oh yes, he's making that point to his disciples. And in the meantime, as Jesus finished that discourse to his disciples, we see that return of the Samaritans. Oh, the woman that he had talked to had went about and told all that she could see. I'm thinking of what, oh yes, had just happened to her. Of this one, oh yes, who was offering her living water. Oh, this one that said he was the Messiah. And so all these curious people came out together and to hear Jesus' testimony. And praise the Lord, oh yes, as they heard the words of the Lord Jesus, many of them began to believe on him, it tells us. Verse 39 again, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testifieth, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Isn't that amazing? Jesus came unto his own, and for the most part his own received him not. But here he went to these Samaritan people. Oh, and how it was that so many of them, when they heard the words of Jesus Christ, when he ministered unto them and taught them, they believed. They realized that Jesus was indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Oh, how precious it is. Oh my, we never know who it is that might receive the glorious good news of the gospel. But praise the Lord, let's reflect on what Jesus had offered that woman. He had offered her living waters. Oh yes, and Jesus talked to those living waters. Oh yes, as he ministered. If we look at John, the 7th chapter, verses 37 through 39, let's go there. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And this is clarified here, verse 39. "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Oh, praise the Lord. It was going to happen. Oh, yes, those that believed on him, as the scripture has said, yes, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. Praise the Lord. And yes, he cried, oh, that great day of the feast. Oh, he stood there and he cried. Oh, he made this offer. Oh, yes, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Oh, praise the Lord. This is not what Isaiah was prophesying of. Oh, if we look at some of the utterances that Isaiah brought forth. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's look at Isaiah 35 here, a few verses. Looking at verse 4 here, Isaiah chapter 35. "Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, in the thirsty land springs of water, in the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes." Oh, praise the Lord. "And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there. But praise the Lord, it tells us, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, it was foretelling all the wonderful works of God that would follow when the Christ would come into the world. And all at once, that which was dry and barren, oh, that which was a wilderness, a place where there was a limitation of water, suddenly, oh, the wilderness would break forth, would break out with waters. Oh, there would be streams in the desert. Oh, yes, a barren place, a dry place where there was typically no water at all. And the parched ground, oh, ground that was so dried. Oh, it hadn't been watered for so long. But praise the Lord, this prophecy is declaring that time when, oh yes, that ground, and it was so dry, so thirsty, so needy, would suddenly become a pool. Praise the Lord. It would become drenched. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, it's talking about the wonderful works of God. Oh, it's talking about the living waters that would spring forth. Oh, praise the Lord. So that which was uninhabited would suddenly, oh yes, become fruitful, oh, become plenteous, and oh yes, there would be a highway that would come forth, a way for the ransom to walk thereon. Oh yes, a way would be declared. Oh yes, the wonderful ways of God. Oh yes, so that we could make heaven our home. Praise the Lord. The unclean are not going to pass over it. And oh yes, there's not going to be any lion or any ravenous beast on this road, this highway. Oh yes, but praise the Lord. Oh, the redeemed shall walk thereon. Oh yes, the ransom of the Lord. Yes, shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Oh, yes, the wonderful works that were to follow. Oh, so many utterances here in the book of Isaiah. We look at Isaiah 41, verse 17. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry lands springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Oh, praise the Lord. It's a wonder that Isaiah could also declare that 12th chapter of Isaiah, oh, that beautiful, beautiful portion of Scripture, when he declared, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. God with his wonderful plan to redeem us. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Restoring that which had been devoured. Oh, yes. And taken away. Oh, yes. The results of sin. It's tremendous, terrible consequences. But praise the Lord that day. Oh, yes, when God's anger is turned away and he comes to this earth to redeem his people, to set them free. Oh, yes, to bring comfort unto them. Praise the Lord, to become our salvation, to become our Jesus, our Joshua. Praise the Lord, that word Joshua means salvation. And praise the Lord, we can trust, therefore, and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is our strength. He is our song. He also has become our salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. And therefore, with joy, we can draw water out of the wells of salvation. Oh, Jesus told that Samaritan woman about those wells. Oh, those wells that would be so deep that if she would drink of that everlasting water, if she would drink of that water, oh, she would never need another water. Oh, it would suffice. It would satisfy her soul. It would bring her all that she needed. Oh, yes, to be fit to serve the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. With joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And Isaiah 12 continues in verse 4. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonder this is. Oh, our God put on flesh, came to this world to become our Jesus, to become our Savior, to become the Messiah, to become the Christ, the Anointed One, as that word Christ means. Oh, thank the Lord to become our strength and our song. Oh, yes, so that we could draw water out of the wells of salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, Jesus talked about those waters. And as we read there in John 7, oh, yes, that foretelling. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, yes, he was going to bring forth those waters for everyone that believeth upon him. Those that thirst, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, it hadn't yet happened when he spoke those words, but it was going to happen soon. Oh, praise the Lord. He yet had to be glorified. He had to yet go to the cross. He yet had to give his life a ransom for many. But praise the Lord. It happened, didn't it? Oh, it happened. And as we know, Jesus told them, oh, before he ascended into heaven, that need there, Luke the 24th chapter. Oh, yes, there at the end of that 24th chapter, he said in verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And praise the Lord. Verse 49 tells us, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Oh, praise the Lord, his parting words. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Praise the Lord. But yes, he had specifically told them to go back to Jerusalem. Oh, yes. And oh, yes, tarry, wait there till you be endued with power from on high. Oh, yes, to be endued means to be clothed upon with that power from on high. Oh, yes, Jesus knew that his ministry here on earth was short-lived. But, oh, my, he was going to put his spirit upon his believers. Oh, yes, so that we could continue the very work that he began. Oh, yes, so that we could carry out the commission. Oh, yes, so that we could be his disciples. And oh, yes, that the works that he began, that we would do even greater works than what he did. Oh, praise the Lord. And we know, oh, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Praise the Lord, because he sent back of his spirit. And oh, yes, we know how it happened. That second chapter of the book of Acts is, oh, yes, they were there gathered together, about 120 of them there in the upper room. Oh, yes, it tells us in that second chapter of the book of Acts, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, this was a life-changing event. Oh, this was that which had been prophesied of the prophet Joel as Peter. Oh, yes, said as he preached to those that had gathered around when they saw this amazing event. Oh, those that were gathered there at Jerusalem there, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Oh, as they began to see and hear what had happened here. Oh, when this event was noised abroad. Oh, yes, the tidings began to spread and the multitude came together and they were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Oh, so amazing. Verse 7 tells us here in Acts 2, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya beyond Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Oh, they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But I love how Peter, now filled with the Holy Ghost, now, oh yes, filled with the boldness of the Holy Ghost, oh, stands up, oh, with the 11. It tells us in verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Oh, praise the Lord. This was that had long been declared. Oh, yes, when God, through the prophet Joel, had declared that he was going to pour out of his Spirit upon all flesh. And, oh, yes, your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Oh, it wouldn't be reserved for one class of people or one gender or one race. Oh, no, it would be poured out upon all flesh. Praise the Lord. That your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Oh, praise the Lord. I just get the word imagery there, you know, the pouring out of God's Spirit, pouring it out in His people, and that is what came forth on the day of Pentecost. Oh, praise the Lord fulfilling His promise, and oh, yes, fulfilling that need, oh, to bring forth that living water, that which had been proclaimed, oh, yes, the dry places, the barren places, the wilderness, the desert, oh, yes, would suddenly become bursting with water, oh, with hope, with expectation, oh, yes, with the living water, as the Spirit of the Lord came upon the face of the earth, oh, yes, to revive that which was dead. Oh, yes, to revive that which was hopeless. Praise the Lord, the Lord's pouring out of His Spirit upon all flesh. Oh, praise the Lord. And I'm so glad. Oh, yes, this pouring out of the Spirit of God. Oh, yes, the pouring out of that living water wasn't reserved for just one certain time or place or event. Oh, no, it followed again. You could read of it in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. You could read of it again in the 10th chapter of Acts. You could read of it again in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts. Oh, yes, it happened again and again and again. Praise the Lord. Oh, it happened to me. Praise the Lord. It happens to God's people, those that will cry out, those that are athirst, oh, those that want to partake of the living waters. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, Peter preached that message there on the day of Pentecost. Oh, yes. He brought it forth. Oh, yes. So much he had to say. Verse 29 here in Acts 2 says, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this, before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear." And praise the Lord, Peter went on to tell them as they were pricked in their hearts. Oh, and that question, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter's response, and oh yes, it resounds through all the quarters of time, all the moments of time here as we now today even have this message. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Oh, praise the Lord. He wasn't restricted for a certain time or period to a certain people. Oh, praise the Lord. It's to all that the Lord our God should call, even those that were afar off. And praise the Lord, just as Jesus offered that Samaritan woman that living water, he offers it yet today. Praise the Lord, as the years have rolled by, and now we are so much closer to the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, still that offer resounds. Oh, yes, throughout time. Oh, yes, come and drink of the living waters. So it tells us here in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus offers us the living waters, oh, to all that thirst, oh, that all would have of this water to drink. And praise the Lord, you can come forth tonight. You can come forth and believe, oh, yes, that this living water that Jesus sent forth on the day of Pentecost, oh, is still for us today. Oh, yes, that power to, oh, yes, endure. That power to overcome. Oh, yes. That same Spirit that was in the Lord Jesus Christ that comes to dwell in our very being. That resurrecting power that will raise our mortal bodies. Praise the Lord. That Spirit that will take us to heaven. Oh, praise the Lord. It's freely given. It's for all that will come forth and all receive of the living water. Oh, yes. That water that Jesus offered even to the Samaritan woman. Oh, praise the Lord that he freely gives. Oh, yes, that water that he said would be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Oh, praise the Lord. May I ask, have you received that water tonight? Oh, praise the Lord, it's for the asking. Oh, if you will turn your eyes upon Jesus, If you look full on His wonderful face, oh yes, if you will draw nigh to God, He will pour out His Spirit upon you. Praise the Lord, so that parched ground shall become a pool. Praise the Lord, that thirsty land springs of water. Oh, that dryness, that thirstiness of a soul can be quenched by the Lord Jesus Christ. He offers that living water to all that will come. It's freely given. It's for you. It's for me. It's for all that will come. And receive, oh, whosoever will, let them come and drink of the waters of life freely. Praise the Lord, that is what He offers to us tonight, if any man thirst. Oh, praise the Lord, oh yes, with joy, oh yes, we shall draw water out of the wells of salvation. Praise the Lord, that is what He offers. Have you received that promise of the Father? Praise the Lord. Have you been endued with that Spirit from on high? Have you received the gift of the Holy Ghost? Praise the Lord. It's for all. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we praise Thee. We love Thee. Oh, God, we call upon Thee. We ask, O Lord, for Thy help. Oh, Lord, I pray that You would pour out of Your Spirit. I pray, oh, God, oh, Lord, that there would be those, oh, Lord, that draw from Thy living water, Lord. Oh, God, oh, Lord, that receive of Thy wonderful gift, Lord. I pray that You'd pour out of Your Spirit. Oh, God, I pray that You'd pour out of it tonight. Oh, Lord Jesus, that which You've so freely given to us, Lord, that we might be a recipient of Thy precious promises. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank You, God. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise Your holy name. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful gift the Lord has bestowed upon His people. Oh, praise the Lord. He has indeed become our salvation and offers the wonderful gift of salvation to His people, the wonderful well of salvation. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Thank You, God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, God. Oh, thank You, Lord.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our chorus books to number 4 and sing "There Is a River," number 4. Deep within, there mountain that frees the soul from sin. Come to this water, there is a vast supply, for there is a river that never shall run dry. There was a thirsty woman who was drawing from a well. Her life was ruined and wasted. Her soul was bound for hell. And she met the master, who told of her great sin. And if you drink this water, you'll never thirst again. There is a fountain that's filled with His grace. Come to this water, there is a vast supply. God bless you all. Be safe. Praise the Lord.